I will tell you a story.
One of the most beautiful stories that is revealed to us. It's a real life story. The story of Prophet Joseph, Hazreti Yusuf. Hazreti Yusuf is a beautiful and lovely boy, very much loved by his father. He is Joseph, Prophet Joseph. Joseph's father is Hazreti Yaqub, Prophet Jacob. And Prophet Jacob's great-grandfather is Prophet Abraham. Prophet Jacob had 12 sons. So Joseph had 11 brothers. 10 of the brothers are from one wife and two brothers, one of which is Joseph, is from another wife. So the brother of Joseph, who had the same mother with Joseph, is Benjamin. At the age of 14, around the age of 14, Joseph saw a dream. Around that time, Benjamin is really young. So he is not a significant actor in this story until the very end. When Benjamin, when Joseph saw his dream, he was very excited. And that morning he rushed to his father's Prophet Jacob, and then told his dream. In his dream, he saw 10 stars, 11 stars, I'm sorry, a moon and a sun prostrating him. When Jacob listened to the dream, his face was shone, because that was an indication that Prophet Joseph was going to fulfill a prophecy. He was going to be the next prophet after him. So that was an indication that Joseph was going to be a prophet one day. But around at the same time, while he was very happy to hear, because really he loved Joseph. Joseph was not only beautiful, but also a very, very gentle boy. He immediately told him that, "Don't tell this dream and my interpretation to your brothers." The brothers, Joseph's brothers, they were quite jealous of Joseph, because their father's, Jacob's heart was really drawn into Joseph. And they think that, they were better. They were older, they were powerful, they were stronger, and they were ready to take responsibility, while Joseph was very young, and they just could not find any reason why Jacob would love Joseph more than them. And this jealousy created an incredible envy. So Joseph listened to them, but at the same time listened to his father. He would not tell the dream, neither the interpretation to his brothers. But his brothers decided to create a plot, and they decided to kill their brother Joseph. This is what jealousy and envy makes people do. What was the cause of their jealousy? What evil quality surfaced up envy and jealousy?
Yes. That their brothers got like everything, and he was like the special one.
Well, the brothers thought that they were better, and they did not want to believe. Although they know that their father was a prophet, they know that their father was the representative of God on the face of the earth. They were so arrogant about their situation, that created jealousy, and they were ready to defy their father because they thought they were better. That's what we call arrogance. Arrogance created jealousy. Arrogance created envy. Anyway, they were so envious and jealous that they decided to kill Joseph. And one of them said, hey, we don't have to. I mean, after all, you know, we are the sons of a prophet and we cannot kill our brother. But what we should do is we bring him out to the desert. We throw him into a well. And then it's as good as being dead. And then the next day, maybe a caravan would pass by. They will take him out and they will sell Joseph into the slave market. And then we will get rid of him forever. So they kind of started thinking about how to implement this plan. And one day they approached their father, Jacob, and asked permission to take Joseph to the desert to entertain him. Jacob was very worried. Tried to talk them out. And he said that Joseph is very young. If somehow you forgot him there, if somehow you get distracted, a wolf can attack him and kill him. While Jacob was trying to give them a reason why they should not go, at the same time, he gave them a good excuse how to tell their fathers how Joseph was disappeared. So they insisted so much that their father accepted, and they took Joseph, and as they were planned, they pushed him and dropped him into a well in the middle of a desert. It was dark in the well. Prophet Joseph was afraid, but he had this strong faith and he had this strong connection to his father. He started praying. At the same time, the brothers, 10 of them, not Benjamin, because Benjamin was very young and he really did not participate, they came back and told their father Jacob that they were together and started raising with each other, playing with each other, and then a wolf came and, as he described, attacked Joseph and killed. And kind of to cover up their lie, they took a piece of cloth, one of Joseph's cloth, and then wiped it with blood. They slaughtered a goat from their flocks and then wiped the blood of that into his cloth. When Jacob heard that the cryings and screamings out of his tent, he immediately understood that something bad happened. He came out, you know, all the brothers were crying with crocodile tears, and Jacob was very, very sad, extremely sad, and tears were streaming down from his eyes because he lost Joseph. It was very painful. The separation of Joseph from him, that was his most loved son, was very painful. He did not believe. He did not believe because there was no tear on the shirt. There was only blood, but there was no other sign of attack. But he was a prophet, and he believed, he completely submitted the will of Allah Ta'ala, and he strongly believed that Allah Ta'ala started his plan because he chose Joseph as a prophet. The separation made him, from his son, made him very sad. So, that night, Jacob was praying in his tent, Joseph was thinking about his father and praying at the bottom of the well. The next morning, a caravan stopped by. A man with the hope of finding some cold water dropped his bucket all the way to the bottom of the well. And when Joseph saw that a rope was coming down, he climbed up by holding the rope. Now the man who sent the bucket down was not only surprised that a boy was coming up, but at the same time, the people around the well, when Joseph came up, they were amazed with the beauty of this child. The man who found Joseph
was extremely happy, because he immediately thought that I can really ask for a lot of money for him, and I will go to Egypt and I will sell him in the slave market. So he took him, they went to Egypt. In the slave market, he was so beautiful that everybody wanted to purchase Joseph. And the price immediately started rising. It came to a point that only a very rich man could afford him. And around that time, the chief minister of Egypt, the man who controlled the treasury, El Aziz, and his wife was there. And his wife and El Aziz decided to buy Joseph, and they brought him to their palace. He was around 14 at that time. El Aziz immediately noticed that this is not a usual person. He was very gentle, very eloquent, and he thought that he could educate him, he could teach him some worldly affairs, and he could use him in the house and at work. And then he really spent time, he really educated him. At that time, Joseph was really loved by everyone, was growing, and it came to a point that he trusted Joseph so much that he gave the responsibility of all the household affairs to Joseph. Joseph was living in his palace, was very thankful, because he kind of, starting from the betrayal of his own brothers to the ordeal in the well, and then being humiliated as a slave, all those things were unraveling as a plan, and he ended up in a place he was safe. He ended up in a place he was respected. So he was thankful. He was loyal. He started growing there. As he was growing, he became extremely handsome man. And then every day, the wife of El Aziz, Zuleyha, every moment, every day, he was starting falling in love with him. And it came to a point that it was very difficult for Zuleyha to resist the temptation. So one day, Zuleyha asked him to come her room. She closed the door and tried to seduce Joseph. Joseph said, "I cannot have any relationship because I love your husband. Because I cannot betray your husband." But Zuleyha insisted, and he said that nobody will see, nobody will know. And he took her scarf and put the scarf around the eyes of a wooden statue which was representing her god. And Zuleyha said that not even my god, not even the god will see us, Zuleyha said. And as soon as she did that, Joseph immediately remembered the faith, the religion that he was following. He said that there is no way I can close the eyes of my God. And then he turned his back, and he was trying to escape, running away. Zuleyha came and pulled his shirt from behind. So much that the shirt had a big tear now. Right at that time, El Aziz entered the room, her husband. And he was appalled, astonished with what he saw. And then immediately Zuleyha started crying, and this man we trusted came into my bedroom, and he wanted to dishonor me. I was trying to protect my honor and this and that. And then Joseph was very saddened, because he really did not want to look like he's betraying the man who gave him all these opportunities. And he tried to defend himself, but at the same time there was a woman crying and a man standing there in the bedroom of the wife. So right at that time, a relative of El Aziz and Zuleyha entered. And then she saw the situation, he saw the situation, and he said, there's only one way we can tell who is telling the right. We have to check the shirt. If the shirt was torn from the behind, then Joseph is telling the truth. If the shirt was torn from the front, then he is lying. They checked the shirt, it was torn from the behind, and that was a clear evidence for El-Aziz that his wife was guilty, Joseph was innocent. But see, for El-Aziz, this is a very difficult situation, because if everybody knows this, it would be devastating for him. This is a scandal. This is a scandal that if everybody starts talking about that, he's going to lose his power, he's going to lose his position. So he really did not like to open this up and then ask for justice for his wife. He said that, Joseph, you're going to keep quiet. This has not happened. And then he turned to his wife and then I'm leaving you with God. Whatever God chooses to do with you, I have nothing to do with you. But nobody will talk about this anymore. So the case was closed, apparently. But somehow the people knew about Zuleha. Somehow people has heard that she has this passionate love towards a slave. And then they started gossiping, they started talking about this. I mean, this was the most interesting story of the time. You know, the ladies, you know, going back and forth, and they were exaggerating, telling stories about Zuleha and Joseph. It came to a point that Zuleha decided to give them a lesson. Give them a lesson, because the problem here is that it's really the whole story is about the things that we have been doing in our lives, and kind of the characters, the behaviors that that is really exemplified by the behaviors of other people, but we can associate with our lives. These are the women who love to gossip, and they think that they are better than Zuleha. They think that they would never fall in love with a slave, who think that they are much more noble than Zuleha. So Zuleha decided to give them a lesson, invited them for a lunch, and laid down an incredible table. They had their lunch, and at the end of the lunch, she offered them fruits and gave everybody a very sharp knife. At the time, I mean, while this is happening, the ladies are extremely excited with the possibility to see this slave that Zuleha fell in love. They really wanted to, excitingly waiting for a moment that they could at least have a glimpse of Joseph. And while they were peeling their fruits with a sharp knife, Zuleha asked Joseph to enter the room. As soon as Joseph entered the room, I mean, imagine his beauty. The women started cutting their fingers, because they were holding this sharp knife. They were bleeding, but they didn't know that they were bleeding. They were so amazed by the beauty of Joseph. And that was the moment that Zuleha make his point to them, that who claimed that they are better, who claimed that they would never fall in love with a slave, were cutting their fingers, they were bleeding, and they were not realizing the pain. They were not feeling the pain while they were cutting. So, as you see, although El-Aziz wanted to close this case, although El-Aziz wanted this to be stopped, all these rumors, the whole Egypt was, excited with this rumor. So he, while this is happening to Joseph, Zuleha told these women and said that, you think you are better than me, but you are no different than me. He said, Joseph is going to be mine. If he doesn't choose to be mine, I'm going to send him back to the prison. It was very difficult. I mean, a difficult day started for Joseph. because there was incredible lust and seduction and greed in the palace, and he was really afraid that he was going to fail. So he thought about all these things, and finally he decided maybe prison is better for me. He preferred to be in the prison rather than constantly tempting the resisting the temptations of the palace. So when Zuleyha understood that it was not possible for her to possess Joseph, she convinced Aziz that Joseph should be sent to the prison. Joseph happily went to the prison because at least this was a seclusion that he was protected from greed and lust and temptations. So he was there, very righteous, very pious man. Everybody loved Joseph in the prison. And they also realized that he can interpret dreams. This story started with a dream, and this story is going to end with the interpretation of the dream. But they realized around that time, Egypt was very famous. Everybody was really making decisions based on the interpretations of their dreams. Interpreting the dreams were very important at that time. So people, because he was righteous, they were all coming to him and asking him for dream interpretations. And there were two men staying with him. One day they came and they said that they had dreams. And one of them said that I had a dream. In my dream, I saw birds eating breads from my head. And the other one said, I saw myself pressing wine. Joseph turned to them and said that I'm going to give my answer before the meal comes. And then before the meal comes, he said that you will be crucified to the man who saw himself that the birds are eating from his head. And when you are crucified, the birds are going to come and eat bread from your head. And for the other man, you are going to be very close to the king, and you will be saved from the prison soon. It really happened. They crucified the man, the first man. The second man in the prison, his innocence was proven. He was taken out from the prison. He was about to go out. He was about to be released. Joseph, just to be able to teach us, just to be able to teach us a lesson, was made to make a mistake. He turned to the man. He said, you now are going to be very close with the king. When you become close, a friend of the king, remember me, he said. Remember me. When he said, remember me, actually many scholars kind of interpreted that Allah Ta'ala made him to make mistakes because he, although he was completely submitted Allah Ta'ala, because he asked help from the king to be saved from the prison, not directly from Allah Ta'ala, he stayed in the prison for another year. Because what happened was, as soon as the man left the prison, he forgot his promise. He forgot his promise that he was going to mention Joseph to the king. And as a result, days come, days go, Joseph was still there. At the same time, there was the king, and the man became a close friend of the king. What happened was, around a year after this happened, the king had a dream this time. So everybody's having dreams. This time it was king's turn to have a dream. It was kind of a nightmare for the king. He was so frightened with the intensity of the dream that he called everyone, the ministers, the priests, all the religious men, all the sorcerers. He wanted his dream to be interpreted. Everybody gathered. The dream is about what he saw when he was standing in front of the banks of the Nile. So in his dream, he was standing at the banks of the Nile. He saw seven fat cows coming out of the Nile. And then he saw seven lean cows coming out of the Nile. And then after a while, he saw that seven lean cows devoured the seven fat cows. And then he saw seven ears of corn, green corn, was coming out of Nile. And then after a while, he saw those ear of corns disappear. And from that mud that they disappeared, seven dry ears of corn came out. So this was kind of a nightmare. He was sweating when he saw this. And then people came together. They decided, they tried to interpret the dream. And then at the end, they decided that my king, the only interpretation of that is you had a nightmare. You must have eaten a lot the night before and you saw this. It must be a bad nightmare. And since this man was very close to the king, you know, the man whose dream was interpreted by Joseph, and he was together with Joseph in the prison, he remembered Joseph a year later. He remembered, I had a friend and he, you know, interprets dreams wonderfully. So he mentioned Joseph to the king a year later, because Joseph did not ask directly help from Allah Ta'ala, but from that person. A year later, he remembered Joseph, and king was desperate. So he asked him to rush to the prison, tell his dream to Joseph, and get the interpretation immediately back. So he went to the prison, he saw Joseph, and then he told him the dream, and this is Joseph's interpretation. There will be 7 years of comfortable life, fertile lands, rain, and then after that there will be 7 years of drought and famine. It's going to be extremely difficult. Many people will die because they will not find food in this drought. And then he said that I recommend that during that 7 years, just set aside portion of the grain that you collect, you harvest, so that you can use what you store for the years that there is going to be drought. So when the king heard the interpretation, he was amazed. Not only there was an interpretation, but there was also a recommendation. Not only prediction, but also prescription for what is going to happen next. He immediately wanted Joseph to come and help him in making decisions, in decision making. And then they asked Joseph to leave the prison and go to the king's palace. Joseph this time refused. He said, I'm not going to leave the prison until my innocence was established. And he said, tell the king to investigate my case and bring those ladies who cut their fingers and question them about what has happened. Not only so everybody in that incredible lunch was brought in front of the king, and the king asked, why did you seduce through all these women, including Zuleha? Why did you seduce Joseph? And then immediately all the women said, God forbid, we would never do anything like this. We are noble people. We would never seduce a slave. At that time, Zuleha said, I did seduce. I did everything to possess him, but he is a righteous person. He resisted the temptations, he said. She said, Zuleha said. And then once Joseph's innocence was established, he stayed with the king. He stayed with the king. Not only that, but the king gave him the authority, gave him his power. He said that you're going to manage this country from now on. I want you to make decisions about how we are going to handle the 7 years of fertile times, good times. How are we going to manage this drought? You control everything. Gave the power. Practically, Joseph became the king of Egypt at that time. So he, started managing, created store warehouses, stored the grain. And then really, 7 years, they had an incredible crop. They had incredible grain. And everybody was thinking that this was going to go on. But at the end of that 7 years, the drought, a famine started. Not only Egypt, but in all neighboring countries. It was terrible. But because of Joseph, they were able to survive. He kind of rationed the grain. He was selling the grain with a fair market price, not increasing the price of the grain. So everybody was saved from the drought. So around that time, Jacob, his father, his brothers were also suffering. They were suffering from the drought. And then they've heard that the king of Egypt is distributing food, selling at a very fair price. They collected money, the 10 brothers, and then Jacob, their father, gave permission to them to go to Egypt and purchase some grain. They went to Egypt, but before they go to Egypt, this is interesting, all these things that have lessons. Jacob told them, I am very frightened and afraid. So these are, although they betrayed their sons, these are the brothers of Joseph. They are also very handsome. Not as much as Joseph, but they are really extremely attractive. 10 men, an extremely attractive, powerful presence. So please do not enter Egypt from one gate. Just go to different gates of the town and enter. Do not attract attention. Do not attract the attention of other people because I'm afraid that they would harm you. So they came, they went into the presence of Joseph, and as soon as they went into his presence, immediately Joseph recognized his brothers. But brothers did not recognize Joseph, because when Joseph left, Joseph was 14 years old. Years passed. And then they asked for the grain, and then Joseph looked around, and Benjamin was not there. Benjamin was not there, and he wanted Benjamin. So he said, I have a rule. I distributed the grain according to the head count. How many brothers do you have? They said, we are 11, but our young brother will stay back at home. He stated, I have to see everyone. I have to see everyone to distribute your portion. So he insisted that they should bring Benjamin so that they get their share. So there was nothing to do. They went back to bring Benjamin so that otherwise they would not be able to get their food. And then they went to their father. Father, this is the situation. The king is not going to give us the grain unless we take Benjamin with us. Jacob, of course, had this terrible experience with Joseph and their brothers. He would never trust the brothers. But they swear and ask permission again to take Benjamin with them. And Jacob said, they gave all kind of promises that they would protect their brother, little brother, Benjamin. And then finally Jacob, this time, second time, gave the permission. They took Benjamin. They went again to Egypt, back and forth Egypt. They came back to Egypt. They went into the presence of Joseph. Joseph took Benjamin to his room, started giving them the grains. Every son got a bag of grain. And then he told Benjamin that he is Joseph. They embraced each other, they hugged each other, they found each other finally. But he said, don't tell that I'm Joseph to my brothers, the 10 brothers. Before, Joseph had a plan too. Before they left, Joseph had his men to put a golden ball in Benjamin's back. And then asked one of his men to shout as they leave that, "There's a thief, there's a thief." So as they were leaving, 11 brothers, somebody started shouting, "These are thieves, these are thieves." And then they stopped, the soldiers stopped, and they started investigating. They started looking into the bags they were given, the grain bags. And then finally they found this golden ball in Benjamin's bag. As they found it, they declared Benjamin as the thief. And then they brought everyone in front of Joseph. And then Joseph asked them, "According to your law, what is the punishment of a thief?" He was not punishing them with the law of Egypt, but he was punishing them with the law of his father. He knows his father's law. He knows the Sharia of Prophet Jacob. They said that if anybody steals, the one who takes becomes a slave, they said. So Benjamin is becoming the slave of Joseph, according to the law of his father. The purpose there is to keep Benjamin in the palace. So they left the palace with the grain, and then they had to again face their father. Again, the little brother is gone. As soon as this happens again, Jacob remembered how he lost Joseph. He started crying so much that he felt sick. He not only felt sick, he became blind. He became blind. And and then he said that, he was going to die. And the sons felt extremely bad. That what can they do to make their father healthy again, to make him happy again. "I don't want anything," the father says. This Jacob said, "Go and find Benjamin. Oh, my only condition is that, go and find him." So they went back to Egypt. This tenth son. They came back to Egypt. And when they came back to Egypt, the situation was really terrible. That was the end of the drought. There was no food. They were poor. They were worn out. They had nothing to eat. They are looking for Benjamin, and they again went into the presence of the king. And they were so poor and helpless, they asked help from the king. Who else would they ask help from? Of course, the king. So they approached the king, and at that time, Joseph revealed his identity to his brothers. Now they were very tired, they were hungry, they were poor, but at the same time, now at the top of this, when they realized that this was Joseph that they were trying to kill many years ago, they were frightened. What is going to happen to us? They were so afraid that Joseph was going to punish them. They were shivering. And then Joseph said, "This is not a time of punishment. This is the time to embrace each other. I forgive you. May Allah forgive you too." And he embraced his brothers. And they asked, oh, he's going to keep Benjamin with him. He asked his brothers to take a piece of cloth belongs to Joseph back to their father Jacob. So brothers went back, and before even they came, they say that Jacob smelled Joseph from the piece of cloth that Joseph gave. When they gave the clothing to Jacob, when he touched the clothing touched the clothing with his eyes, his vision came back. And then they told what has happened. Joseph, his wife, 10 brothers, this time they went back to Egypt. They came back to Egypt. There, Joseph was waiting for them. The whole family gathered. And then Joseph wanted Jacob and his mother to sit on the throne. Instead, they all prostrated in front of Joseph. And then he took his father and said, "Father, this is the interpretation of your dream." the 11 stars were the brothers. The sun was Jacob, and the moon was the wife. So they stayed in Egypt, and they lived happily after. This is the story. But in this story, there are many, many, many symbolism. Yeah, so the story contains Sharia, the story contains Tariqa, the story contains Hakika. It really, depending on from which side you touch it, you find incredible amount of blessings for all of us. In the story, Jacob, Prophet Jacob represents the soul. He is under the control of God, because he directly receives his orders from Allah Ta'ala. He is the representation of the divine on the face of the earth. Joseph really represents the soul. Jacob, the prophet, is the soul. Joseph represents, I'm going to say, the heart. And if Efendi was here, he was going to punish me for translating his heart. Joseph represents the gönül, the spiritual heart, the heart. Really, Joseph is the container, is like the container of the soul. You know, remember, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. The likeness of this, the light is, it is in a niche in which there is a lamp. And the lamp is in a glass. Joseph was like that glass. The heart is like that glass. Joseph was the gönül, the spiritual heart, the heart through which, only through which, the beauty of the divine can reflect. The pain of separation, this really represents, symbolizes the pain of separation of the truth from the divine. The divine, which is the soul in this case, is losing its container that it could reflect the divine. That's why there is an incredible love between the soul and the heart. The place of the soul is the heart. In the story, the brothers, the 10 brothers, represents the desires. The desires of the world. The desires of the world, when they find the heart weak, they attack. The desires of the world put this glass, put this container into darkness. The act of putting Joseph into the well is representing, if we are heedless, if we let our desires to control our lives, finally it is going to darken our hearts. So when Joseph was into that well, it represents how the desires are darkening. And then kind of the connection between the soul and the outside world was lost, because Joseph is in darkness. Because Joseph and Jacob are disconnected right now. When the soul is disconnected from the heart, if the heart is not reflecting what the divine beauty that is being put into the heart through the soul, then there is darkness. So the glass is in darkness. If you continue the symbolism, there is El Aziz. El Aziz, the minister of treasury. El Aziz is chief of the ministers. El Aziz is the world. He has the power, he has the money, he is rich. His justice is shaky. It kind of makes decision based on optimizing his benefits. He doesn't care about justice, whatever works for him. In one case, Joseph is innocent. In the other case, Zuleyha is the innocent. It doesn't matter. What matters is the power. It's very much like the European Union countries right now. The refugee crisis. There's no right. The right is what benefits them. They don't care for Syrians, they don't care for refugees. This is exactly Al-Aziz. He has nothing to do with the truth. He cares for his power, he cares for his money, like very much like the European countries to nowadays, or anybody else. The world is well represented by Al-Aziz. Then there is Zuleyha. Zuleyha, at the beginning of the story, is Nefs Ammar. Zuleyha lies. Zuleyha wants to possess. Zuleyha wants nothing but the ownership of Joseph. Her love is really nothing but lust. She's inconsiderate. She doesn't care if Joseph goes to the prison or not. The only thing that Zuleyha wants is to possess Joseph. Joseph, the heart, poor translation. The funny thing is that in this story, I just want to attract your attention, there's an attraction between the Nefs Ammara and the heart. There's an attraction. Not only Zuleyha wants to enter the heart, not only Nefs wants to enter the heart, but heart wants Zuleyha as well. I mean, do you think Joseph refused the temptations because Zuleyha was not beautiful? She was the most beautiful. Joseph wants Zuleyha as well. But Joseph knows that this is not legitimate. This relation would have been illegitimate. Why? Because Nefs, Zuleyha, is married to Al-Aziz. Nefs is married to the world. As long as the Nefs is attached to the world, as long as your Nefs is very much connected to the world, then your Nefs cannot be attracted, cannot enter the heart. Your Nefs will not benefit from the divine light. Your Nefs will not be able to approach to the heart, come closer to the right, because Nefs cannot divorce the world. So long we cannot divorce the world, there is no much hope that we can enter, our Nefs can enter into the heart and receive divine guidance. That illegitimacy is represented by that relation between Joseph and. If Zuleyha was not married to Al-Aziz, I'm sure they would have married. Going forward, there's a beautiful representation of Ihsan there. Now, Nefs Ammara has nothing to do with the Ihsan. Nefs Ammara does not believe in God, who is watching every motion, and everything is under the control of his power and authority. Nefs doesn't care about God. Nefs is ready to close the eyes of the God of his imagination with a scarf. For Joseph, God is always watching. This is the level of Ihsan. Even if I don't see God, I know that God sees me. That Joseph saying that I cannot close the eyes of my Lord is actually the definition of Ihsan. So Joseph is really demonstrating what Ihsan is all about. Having this constant consciousness of God is watching me. And there's no way I can stop that. That is Ihsan, being actually thought by Joseph. In this story, there's also the ladies represent us in a state of arrogance. You know, our belief that all the mistakes are done by others. I would never do this, because I'm better than him. I'm better than her. He can do it, but I won't. I am so noble. I'm so well educated. This is only this type of sins. This type of things doesn't belong to me. You know, it shows our arrogance, insincerity. There's also in the story, there's the one of the characters, the most important character is the king. What does king represent? While I'm drinking my water, king represents the intelligence. King is the decision maker, making. King is the intelligence who is making the decision to govern, right? Whenever there's an issue, the king has to make a decision, find a solution. There's a problem, intelligence is appealed. Intelligence is going to find a solution. But the beautiful representation there is that what does the intelligence do? He faced with a problem. The king is now facing a problem that he cannot handle. But intelligent enough to know himself. Like, this is too much for me. Intelligence says that I cannot handle this. I cannot handle this problem. Where does he go? When the intelligence doesn't work, where does he go? Where does he consult? He consults to the heart. Joseph represents the heart. He goes, whenever intelligence fails, he goes to the heart. He goes to the Joseph and seeking for solution, asking solution from the heart. But not only that, the most beautiful aspect of it is when he realizes that he cannot handle, this is inshallah where we want to be, the intelligence gives all the power to the heart. You manage now. From this point on, he takes the power off his shoulders. You manage me now. Inshallah, one day you can come to that point. So the heart was given the power because heart knows how to handle the situations where they cannot be handled by only intelligence. Another most beautiful representation is Benjamin. Oh, this is a difficult one. What does Benjamin represent? It's a very difficult one. Benjamin represents the faith. Under difficult circumstances, when we lose hope, we need faith. The faith actually makes us go. The faith, whenever we cannot touch the soul, whenever we are under the constant attack of the desires and the lusts, and maybe difficulties, losing jobs, staying hungry, and really knowing what's going to happen to us tomorrow, when we have the fear, what keeps us alive is the faith. Benjamin that represents that faith. That's why our heart, when we face difficulties to be able to survive, we need the faith. That's why Joseph wants to keep Benjamin with him. That's the symbolism of the Benjamin. The heart is using, Joseph is using some tricks to keep the Benjamin with him there. Heart needs the faith. Without the faith, because heart knows that he will not be able to. With all these difficulties, all these trials, all these adversities, Joseph will not have the hope to reach his father. That he will open himself up, heart will open itself up to the soul. But how did he keep Joseph, Benjamin? Joseph puts the golden ball into his bag. Some people interpret that to be able to see this. There's another sort of symbolism in symbolism. Somebody interprets that as to be able to keep Adam with him, Prophet Adam. Allah Ta'ala put the forbidden apple into his pocket. That's another beautiful thing. And finally, we see the brothers, the 10 brothers, coming back. And at the end of the drought, they are extremely weakened. They are poor. And when they approach to the gates, there is no one to go but the Joseph. See? When your desires are poor, when you eliminate your desires, the only destination that you can get is the heart. So to get to the heart, the only way to get to the heart is to make your desires low and poor. Assalamu alaikum.
I want to see the headcounts. Bring your brothers. If I don't see your brothers, I won't give you. Well, do you know mathematics? Do you know how to count?
This is the way to go.
Does she have how many sisters you have?
How many sisters?
Oh, you only get one then?
She has four sisters and one sister.
One more question. When at the end of the story, at the end, when King started investigating the case, what levels Leha was? What was he? She still representing Nefs Ammara? When King started questioning her, was she still at level of Nefs Ammara? What level was she?
Higher.
One above. One level up. She was reproaching herself, wasn't she? She was reproaching herself, saying that it was my fault. I tried to seduce him. And for the first time, she was telling the truth. So that's the level. That's the level we have when we first step into the tariqah. From that point on, Zuleha can become a dervish.
Assalamu alaikum. But he did marry Zuleha in the end.
You know, I only told the part which is written in Surah al-Yusuf, the chapter.
Right.
The rest I didn't add. So tell us about it. What do you know about it?
After she really recognized what she did, she became she gave up everything, all the castle she had, all the money, and she present just to God if he can forgive her. And God really, he did forgive her and he make her.
So that completes the story, isn't it? So she divorced the world, mm-hmm. and then the heart, she entered into the heart.
Right.
The unification of heart and the nafs is realized as soon as the nafs divorced the world, which is consistent with the, which is a consistent end.
heart will accept her because she changed.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, definitely. What does the ladies cutting themselves, bleeding but not feeling the pain represent? Unquenchable desire?
Unquenchable. Yeah. The unrealized desire.
Really?
Well, they didn't feel the pain.
Mm-hmm. But don't you think unsatisfied desires should give the pain? Why don't they feel the pain? They're cutting them. They're bleeding. They don't feel. They're smiling and cutting themselves. It's really being astonished, completely falling in love with the beauty. When you totally submit yourself to the truth and beauty, no matter what that does to you, you don't feel the pain of it. That is, all the difficulties that come from the beloved doesn't hurt the lover. That represents. So what do we love to do after midnight? Honestly, we play basketball. We don't do anything but play basketball after midnight. So we get hurt. One morning I woke up and there was on my arm there was a spot. I must have gotten a punch. I don't recall at all. Who did it? When it happened? How it happened, I don't have any recollection, but I had a big scar on my arm. that was very much like the case of the ladies were cutting themselves. We were playing basketball and hurting each other. we are bleeding. I had internal bleeding on my arm. I received a punch, didn't feel the pain.
Because you loved your ass.
Yeah. When it comes from your lover, mm-hmm. it doesn't hurt. Wow, we exhausted the story, didn't we? Is there anything we didn't touch?
Their hands when they saw Yusuf, if they had ever seen my Rasulullah, they would have cut their hands.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've heard that Rasulullah was even more beautiful than those. Why did you bring Ansa?
Because he's shy.
Are you?
And he wants a lollipop.
Only one? Just one?
I want another one.
Give this shy boy one lollipop.
Come around, Joseph. Choose the color you want. Choose the color you want.
Again? Hold on. Okay, I'll give you another one.
I got bubble gum.
There's one more symbolism. Jacob becoming blind. What does it represent? The soul becoming blind. When the soul is separated from the heart, it loses its power to guide. So who is guiding you? Is it the nefs or the soul? If the soul becomes blind, then you lose the hope to be guided. Really, this is the instant that there isn't any, the soul really turns back to Allah Ta'ala and there isn't anything I can do. I lost everything. I lost the faith, I lost the heart. And there's only these 10 sons of mine who represents the desires. This is really the end. We will try and keep failing. When we fail over and over again, this is the state of the soul, feeling hopeless and turn completely to Allah Ta'ala and asking for some kind of a solution. Blind soul represent that you cannot receive guidance from the light of the divine anymore. How does his vision come back? The heart gets connected back with the soul. So this is the miracle. So when the soul loses the hope that everything is lost, at that moment only help comes from Allah Ta'ala, and that's the Joseph's clothing going back to open the eyes. Everything starts back again. You know, we fail, we lose hope. With the faith, everything is restarted. It's a miracle, actually. It's a miracle that happens over and over again.